B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I watch a lot. I love the game, so I've always been a fan of the game, so I watched the postseason. This year was a little more difficult, but I certainly, you know, and made a point even to watch the World Series and watch the Red Sox celebrate and watch them on the podium. I don't know if it was to torture myself or what, but, you know, I made sure I watched it. You put this hat on and this uniform on, and to get to wear a big league uniform, you know, you shouldn't need much motivation, but to watch a team that you know so well, that's certainly one of your rivals, celebrate where you want to be. You know, I think that adds a little fuel to the fire, certainly.
Murray, guess who's got his competitive juices firing right there?
No, I guess I'll just watch it and torture myself. Hermie the Elf. Hermie. Why am I such a misfit? I am not just a nitwit. His voice kills me every single time.
Hermie the Elf.
No.
BetOnline.ag, odds to win the 2019 World Series. Okay, BetOnline. I'll give you seven teams, starting with in the seventh position. Tied for the seventh spot. The Braves, Indians, and Nationals are 16-1. Then there's two teams next. The Brewers and Cardinals at 14-1. The Cubs are 12-1. The Phillies are 10-1. The Dodgers are 9-1. Tied in second place are the Astros and Red Sox at 7-1, and your odds-on favorite to win the 2019 World Series, the New York Yankees at 6-1. Your thoughts?
So, look, the Yankees had an active offseason. I mean, to me, I still put Boston, Houston, and New York sort of in the same group. And, you know, the Red Sox have slipped a little from last year, and they were the best team last year. And the Yankees have gotten a little bit better. So it feels to me like the gap has been trimmed. To me, those are still the three best teams in baseball. The Yankees rotation, they've added Paxton and J-Hap full-time now. So, you know, and maybe you don't like Britton. They brought him back. They added Adam Ottavino in that bullpen as well. Like, their bullpen's deep. They've added some starters. They can obviously hit.
How's their manager?
Shaky.
Ugh.
Guess I'm not good, I guess.
Shakes the plum.
I can't stand that guy.
So look, and with good reason. I'm just temp- and they also, like, you know, if,
I mean, I can't stand
I think there's a little chip on their shoulder now because of the way it ended last year.
If I'm a Yankee fan, that manager bugs me. Like, good God, he hadn't even managed T-ball when he got that job last year. And it came back to bite him. It was a factor. Managing was a factor in that series. He just doesn't command. What's our other? He just doesn't command it, Murray. Like, it's,
yeah, there's no balls.
Hermie, the Elf. Give me the other one, Jimmy.
Again, on paper, our rotation and even our bullpen feels even a little bit stronger as we sit here today. But when I say I hope so, is that we're sitting here and it's early February. So, you know, in a lot of ways, the talk about it is cheap. We have tremendous expectations, and I think we rightfully have those expectations. But now we got to go out and do it.
Okay. There he is.
No. Someday I'd like to be a dentist.
That's a great graphic.
Very good job by the NBC Sports Boston crew right there. That is Hermie the Elf, is it not?
Yeah, it is. That's him.
Special. Oh, he was special. No,
not happy with my managing, I guess.
I'll tell you, just the voice, the delivery. You sit there and listen to him. You're not going to win with this guy being the manager.
So, but Vegas has him as the odds-on favorite. So go figure. Go figure. I'm just more concerned about you and how you built your team. I just think it's playing with fire. It's like, we won last year with these holes, so you know what? We're just going to double down on these holes. We want to prove to you that you're such idiots that we can win with these holes. We're going to make these holes worse. We're going to make these holes bigger. The bullpen is taking a step back on paper from the piece of the team that gave everyone pause last year. And that's just...
I just don't see it with that Yankee rotation more than anything else. And Severino's apparently trying to get himself back in shape, but that guy ate himself out of being the best pitcher in baseball last year.
Back to the Yankees, I don't know. They shouldn't be favored over you.
No.
You're better on paper. You're better on paper and never mind on the field, but you're better on paper.
Yeah, I just think I'm not convinced of that, by the way.
Your rotation is much better.
We're talking 2019 now,
yes,
right?
Yes, your rotation is much better.
Okay, and their bullpen is much better.
Okay.
And the other thing is, when you talk about the Red Sox rotation, again, Sale didn't pitch. See, the Red Sox fans' answer to everything is, well, we won the World Series. So they made it look easy, but it's not. And we all know it's not.
You hear that sound, Mike? Those are those heels of Maz digging in.
I'm telling you. No. So this is what it is now. Because they made it look easy, everyone is acting like a bunch of asshats now, and they all think it's easy, and it's not. And usually when you act this way, you know, you get your face pushed in. That's usually what happens.
617-779-0985. We're talking Red Sox. Rick in Medford. Go ahead, Rick.
Maz, so I've heard you say that you think it's more likely than not that Mookie's probably gone after 2 years. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so if we have 18 months or, you know, 2 seasons left with this MVP, don't you think it makes sense to take advantage of the small window that you have with the MVP and the rest of the starting rotation and the other players like Bogaerts? I mean, not going after any bullpen help has been criminally negligent.
Agreed.
By Dombrowski and the rest of the front office. I mean, we're going to get through these next 2 years, probably without another World Series, and then what are we going to be left with on this roster? Like, what is the Red Sox team going to look like at that point?
Okay, and so, I mean, now you're just projecting, but the first thing, I mean, to not fill a hole and actually let the hole get worse just because you overcame it the year before is that's a dangerous way to build a roster.
Yes, again, it's just like, you know, you sort of look at it and say, no problem, we'll figure it out. So I'm just stunned that there is this level of confidence and trust in the Red Sox now that people give Bill Belichick. Like, usually it's in Bill we trust. The you know, we'll figure it out. And Bill usually does, but Bill had a long track record of it. Dombrowski's track record until last year was finding a way to blow it.
Bob and Marble, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. Hey, Maz, can you talk to you about two things, Maz? I just wanted to talk to Maz.
Quick, go.
Okay, yeah. Maz, you've been tracking people down, everything, Bird, Prince, everybody else. Could you give me a list of somebody you think is terrific?
Okay, so people he actually likes. I got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Give me a list.
All right, what's your second thing?
Up now, just give me
okay,
a list.
That's, you said two things. There's one. Who do you actually like, man?
Not many. I mean, there aren't many players that I do like, many people that I do like.
In all sports.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Trout's a good player. I like him.
Who do you like on the Red Sox, miss?
Who do I like on the Red Sox? Pierce. I like Pierce. Oh, I like Eovaldi. Yeah, overpaid, but I like him. Pierce, Eovaldi, Porcello I like. He's a solid guy on a team. Again, no nonsense. You know what those guys are. There's no fluff. I'd say that's about it.
Okay. Again, the hottest question today in Red Sox Nation is why David Price went from 24 to 10. I'll tell you, we're just going to dabble in this. We're not going to let the show be taken over by it because I know you'll take over the show if we let you. But Chris and Malden, why did he change his number from 24 to 10?
I could be wrong, but wasn't his first year 2008 with the Rays?
Yeah.
And he won the championship in 2018, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he wanted to you know.
Okay, I'm just going to
recognize
let you go.
10 years.
He didn't win in 2008, though, you understand. He lost the World Series.
Correct, yeah. And his first full year was 2009. I don't think he's right. I don't think he's right.
Okay, so what's the leader in the clubhouse? His kid, Xavier, that's X-Man. X is 10, and that's why he's going to 10.
That's what I think. I like Murray's theory. Yeah. Murray's usually your gut feeling, your first instinct. Murray is the right one.
And again, this is, if it interests you, it interests you. Here's David Price. Jimmy, let's hear it again. David Price on the whole, you're going from 24. I personally think they are retiring Dewey Evans' number because now everyone has to retire every number and be the Celtics and just, or the Bruins, you know what? Freaking Terry O'Reilly and Rick Middleton. So now everyone's just going to retire every number. You've completely bastardized and cheapened the entire thing. That list up there used to have integrity. Then they put Boggs up there. So if you're going to put effing Wade Boggs up there, you're going to put Dewey Evans. That thing's going up there at any point in time. He might make the Hall of Fame next year. In fact, is it his last year of eligibility next year?
Who, Evans?
Yeah. Or is he done?
No, he's done. Oh, no, he's not. He could get in by Veterans Committee.
Yeah, I was going to say, this Veterans Committee.
Yeah, but, oh, so, no, right, yeah, that, I don't, honestly, I pay no attention to the Veterans Committee. I have no idea.
Well, you better start, because if they're going to put Harold, it's now the whole, all sports culture is just, they're all in. If you were, okay, you're in. You're in the Hall of Fame and your number's retired. They've cheapened the entire thing. So, well, David Price talks about, like, well, listen to this cut. So that's why, I don't know why I thought Dewey Evans would be eligible. He's not, obviously. He was, you know. Obviously. But Price still thinks he's in. David, why are you changing your number?
Why the number 10?
I'm going to let you guys figure it out. I don't. It's not that tough. If you know me at all, I feel like you can get it. Somebody will get it, and everybody's going to be like, oh, okay, wow. That makes sense.
The Red Sox have won 9 World Series. And-
that is not it. That
is
not it.
That's a good guess.
Are they retiring Dwight Evans' number?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, I do think he will be a Hall of Famer, so I do think it will be up there at some point.
Okay, so he goes on a little bit from there, but...
nope, you're wrong, Johnny. Nope, try again, Shank. I got a secret. It's for me to know and you to find out. If you know me, you know why I changed it, but I'm like the Riddler. Without fingers, I point. Without arms, I strike. Without feet, I run. What am I? I like games.
Well, people have said there's 10 has some significance in Fortnite.
Does it? I don't know.
I heard Beatle mention it. I don't know if it's true.
Oh, it probably does.
If that's what it is. Ugh. Ugh.
Seriously, though.
No, what is it? What does it mean?
I've been mowing them down. I'm the 10th ranked Fortnite player in America.
Yeah, he likes Xbox, Felga. X is 10, so he's wearing 10 because he likes Xbox.
Starting with Red Sox and David Price. He holds a Trump card, and that's what it sounds like. More of that and your calls right after this.
Felga.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong. Sorry. Sorry. Wrong. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
When you were kind of talking about your decision to opt in, was there ever a point in time where that was kind of a difficult thing in your mind, when you were weighing the options?
No. You've seen this free agent market? That wasn't very hard. You know that.
Good job, David. That was my favorite answer. Honest, practical, real. All this other nonsense, and he doesn't go too far into this. I love the city. I love the fans. Like, because he doesn't. I still don't think he likes us. Fans, media, the town. I think he'd take or leave it. I think he likes his teammates and the organization. Everything else, I think he could take or leave. I don't think he likes it. And he doesn't tell us that he does. So, like, again, good for him for not lying to us. Like, I love it here. He doesn't. But anyone who thinks he came back because, well, he said in another place, I'm here to win another championship. And if anyone thinks he did it because he does like it here, and I don't blame him. He did it for cold, hard business reasons. The market has dried up the last couple of years in Major League Baseball.
Boy, has it ever.
So why would he want to be a free agent? And that's simply what it is. And, you know, I think even if he did love it here, and he doesn't, even if he did like the city and the town, I don't think he does, but even if he did and the market was strong, he'd opt out and make the Red Sox match the offer. And that's all fine. So I just sort of like the genuineness of that answer. Like that's why is he still here? That's the reason.
Yeah. And look, again, I'll say it again. As long as he pitches well, I don't care about the rest of it. I don't need to like him. He doesn't need to like us. And I say that also to the fan base. You don't need to like him. He doesn't need to like you. As long as he can perform, who cares?
Here's Billy in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Fogel. How you been?
Good, man.
All right. Give me a couple of seconds because I just want to go over quick things. Fogel. I asked you a long time ago, are you a New England fan? I am so happy, to be honest with you, I'm not a young kid either, that the Patriots are doing so well and the Red Sox are doing so well. And I believe that they almost got the same roster as they had last year. And I'm good. I feel good with that. I think the GM did a good job signing up bets, even for 1 more year. Because we're going to try and win another one. But you know what the real thing is?
What's the real thing, Billy?
Red Sox beat the Yankees, that's better than winning the World Series.
No, it isn't.
Because those Yankee fans, it's nothing better than watching them whine.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Billy.
No, please. It's all about the World Series. I couldn't give a rat's ass about finishing ahead of the Yankees if you don't win the World Series. That doesn't do you any good. In fact, that sort
so
of...
So he was good? You know, he would have been good if they lost to the Cardinals in 04?
I mean, come on.
Oh, please, it's asinine.
Okay, so the roster...
It's not exactly the same.
The holes are the same, all right? And the holes have even gotten deeper, if you will. Or you've even gotten worse. The bullpen on paper is actually worse than it was last year. You had, and we can say Kimbrel's overrated or not worth the money or erratic. He was still good. He was still a good established closer. If you don't think he was great, fine. But he was an established, legit major league closer. Now you don't have one. So on paper, you've taken a step back. Now maybe you score more runs and it won't matter. Okay? I can't predict the future. Maybe your starting pitching stays healthy again and is so good that it won't matter. All I'm telling you is the holes you had last year, I mean, it's almost like the carbon copy. No real full-time second baseman because of Pedroia, a real shaky bullpen, and it's even shakier now, a three-headed catcher situation that is one too many, and which one is it? It's like the team, all the quote-unquote problems you had last year, you just rebooted and didn't try and address. And I think that's scary, or that's cavalier, and that's dangerous to say, well, we won despite those holes last year, so we'll just bring all those holes back this year.
And it was the nature of the winning, too. That's the thing. It's 108 during the regular season, then 11-3 in the playoffs. I mean, nobody beat them more than once in the postseason. They made it look so easy that I think people now say, oh, well, you know, again, sleepwalk to 100 wins. Sleepwalk to 100 wins? Do you know how hard 100 wins is? Like, I just think... people have totally lost sight of what the challenge is. And say, look, the regular season is interminable, okay? It's a slog. But you have to play well to make the playoffs. Like, it's not just a given like it is in the NBA.
Jeff in Scituate. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. What do you got?
You know, I'm just getting so tired of hearing all this conversation about how I know you're probably going to be like, oh, it's happening. But this whole idea that there's some major collusion going on in the in Major League Baseball, and that's why Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are not signed. Bryce Harper is living in a world today where he thinks he deserves to get paid for having three seasons that were like his 2015 season when they have not been anywhere near his 2015 season. He has been a better than average player for the last three freaking years, and the guy wants $30 million a year. You look at any of the statistics for any hitters in the league for the last 3 years, and Manny Machado and Bryce Harper don't break the top 10 in almost any category, yet Mookie Betts is there every year. Giancarlo Stanton's there every year. JD Martinez is up there every year. These guys are asking for money they don't deserve, and that's why they're not getting signed. It isn't because nobody wants to pay them the right amount of money. Nobody wants to pay them what they're asking. They're asking for way too much money.
Okay, Jeff, good call. Now, are they colluding like they did in 1986 or whatever was, where they actually went in there and they found documents and they found a paper trail that proved the owners were colluding? Are they doing that this time? I highly doubt it. I highly doubt the owners would allow themselves to get caught with their hand in the cookie jar again. So will it ever be proved? No. And is it even really happening on that level? It doesn't have to be. Maybe they've just gotten smart collectively. But don't tell me they don't talk to each other. And that, you know, these teams come to these conclusions. I mean, the system's built. So if you tank, you collect a revenue sharing check, you get to draft high. And there's teams that have been built, the Astros, Cubs. There are teams that have built championship rosters based on tanking, collecting revenue checks, and drafting. And so you don't have to collude to say that that's the way to go for some franchises. So maybe it's informal collusion, but it's happening. They'll never prove it. But there is a consensus of teams that believe this is the way to build, and it's killing the players. And if you want to say that Machado and Harper aren't worth it, that's fine. How do you explain Kimbrel? How do you explain the other, 75 guys that are still out there?
I mean, JD Martinez last year ended up with a deal where we only get 2 years fully guaranteed. Right? I mean, he can opt out. It's his choice. But the point is, he got $22 million a year. He's the best hitter in baseball.
There's a bunch of guys out there.
That deal looks like a bargain right now, even if he does play out the whole 5 years. $22 million a year for that guy? I mean, he's a $30 million run producer. There's no two ways about it with the way he hit last year. So, like, to me, there's something going on. I think teams wisened up.
And frankly, I don't mind it. I think the players in baseball are overpaid and entitled. And in that league, I don't mind the owners pushing back and gaining a little bit of traction.
Players have too much power in that league. They always have.
Exactly. Okay, so but can you prove that collusion or not? I doubt it, right? The owners would be really stupid to leave another paper trail and get caught. But
I don't think the owners are this smart, but if they're using this to leverage the players into pace of game changes,
oh, brilliant.
Then I love them for it, but I doubt that that's what's going on.
Jason in the car. Hi, Jason.
Yes, hey, how's it going, guys? So, Maz, I agree with you. There is no chance of re-signing Kimbrel. I know we need the bullpen help, but I would not re-sign Kimbrel. No way. He just wants too much money. I think it's a crazy move.
Okay, I'm with you. So I don't need Kimbrel. Can you get someone who's close in Major League Baseball?
Sure.
Like, I mean, not just these guys who did it, you know, on spot duty last year, or Thornburg's 13 saves 3 years ago in Milwaukee?
I'll tell you what. Even give me bodies of guys who, you know,
throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and let's see what sticks.
Correct. Bring in five guys who aren't Erasmo Ramirez and Colton Brewer.
Colton Brewer doesn't do it for you?
No. I mean, I want guys who have some track record of success and either had injuries or off years or whatever. Like, you want to take that approach while we're going to, which is what they did back in that 03 season when they did the closer by committee nonsense. Fine. Throw a bunch of crap against the wall and see what sticks. They're not even doing that.
So they're throwing a little bit of crap. And Colton Brewer.
Yeah, he doesn't count.
Why not?
Who had ever heard of Colton Brewer before they brought him in here?
All I'm saying is if you brought in five Colton Brewers, at least I'd say, okay, you're throwing a bunch of crap against the wall. They're not even really doing that. There's a guy here, there's the steroid guy, and then there's this guy. Who else have they brought in?
Oh, yeah, Mejia from the Mets. Yeah, they brought him in,
too. He hasn't pitched in 3 years himself, right?
Right, exactly.
Colton Brewer. I know why he's here after reading the Globe. I know why. He had a spin rate of 2,644 RPM in 11 Major League games for the Padres last season, one of the best marks in the majors. That's why he's here. The nerds love spin rate.
Do they ever?
You don't understand revolutions per minute, Mike.
I certainly don't. I certainly don't, but they do. And the nerds, pants off. Pocket protectors go flying in the back office when they see a good spin rate. And a spin rate of 2,644 apparently is good. Even though it was only 11 games and it was for the Padres, but if you can have a 2,600 RPM spin rate in San Diego, can't you do it in Boston?
Oh, no, he can spin the crap out of it.
That's why he's here. He can spin it right out of the zone, which is why he walks so many guys. Or he can spin it right onto the bat, which is why he had a 5.59 ERA last year. But that's he spins the crap out of that baseball. If they had five of those guys, I'd say, okay, they're you know, they're going to put a bunch of things in a sifter and see what comes out. But they're not even really doing that.
No. No, again, and I'm just looking at some of these contracts. Like, nothing absurd. Like, Adam Ottavino Ottavino with the Yankees, 3 years and $27 million.
Mass, would you hold on? We have far more important things to get through. Because, again, I know people are fascinated by this. Rapid fire, I'm not going to give you much time. Chance in Boston, why did Price change his number?
All right, because 24 minus 14 equals 10. 14 is a fortnight. He's telling us he's quitting. And he's not playing Fortnite anymore, just focusing on baseball.
Okay, there's one. Jason in Marblehead. Why is Price changing his number?
All right, guys. What state was Price born in?
Tennessee.
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 Oh. Boo.
Adam in Connecticut. Why did Price change his number? Adam in Connecticut. Why did Price change his number? You got to be ready to go. Nick in Arlington. Why did Price change his number?
Because he had to wait 10 years to finally win his first postseason start.
Ooh, another good one. Except that's too negative for him. That's too negative.
So that highlights the drought.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I also found another one. This is from an article in Sports Illustrated Kids from a few years ago.
We're not doing this.
Oh, no.
No,
you gotta hear this.
Go.
I got Astro in 2009 when I was called up from AAA Durham.
Astro's 10?
Yep. One of my teammates, pitcher Scott Kazmir, and I talked about how we both wanted to get a dog. He had gotten his dog Rico from one particular litter. Then I got Astro. He's 10. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Astro.
Do you count that out?
Nope.
Of course not.
Astro's 10?
It's 10. He would wear the number for his dog more than his son.
Okay, we'll do Red Sox all day. Okay, we just gave you 90 full minutes of it. Okay? And we avoided the price number thing as much as we could, as much as you want to do it. Coming up next, a rare misstep by the Celtics when it comes to personnel movement and movement of the chess pieces. The Celtics have done something stupid in the last couple days, I think. I'll give you my theory on that right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I want to mix in some Celtics here. I have to give you 90 full minutes of Red Sox. This story came out overnight this morning in the Sporting News. Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, okay? And this is about all those rumors that came out just before the trade deadline, after Anthony Davis opted out, or I'm sorry, didn't opt out, but went public with his demands to be traded, okay? And the thought at the time was that LeBron James's agent, Rich Paul, was planting a bunch of this stuff. LeBron's agent is also Anthony Davis's agent. And, well, wouldn't you know it, right after Anthony Davis makes his trade demand public, all of a sudden Porzingis gets traded out of New York, and now Kyrie Irving is rumored to be going to New York. Why? Well, because they're trying to pee in the pool of the Celtics and the Pelicans. They're trying to say to the Pelicans, look, Kyrie's gone. Anthony Davis isn't going to want to go there. The Celts aren't going to trade you for Anthony Davis because Kyrie's gone. And trying to play that PR game. There's also a report there that Kyrie wouldn't mind going out and playing with LeBron in Los Angeles. And so everyone thought at the time that it was LeBron's agent planting this stuff to pee in the pool of the Celtics and the Pelicans. It was kind of obvious that that's what was happening. Apparently the Celtics agreed. But now it feels like they may have gone public with it, I don't know who the sourcing is here on the story, but Sean Devaney of the Sporting News wrote today, the Celtics were annoyed by the story of Irving having eyes for New York, not because of Irving, but, and now there's a whole piece to that too. It's like, no, not because of him, not because of Irving, but because they felt the story was planted by Davis's agent, Rich Paul, in order to scare the Pelicans into thinking Boston would break off or back off making a trade offer for Davis in July if Irving left. Quote, it was cheap and underhanded, one source told Sporting News. So, cheap and underhanded. You think that's coming from the team, obviously, right? And the team feels that way.
Sure.
Okay. You know why this is stupid? They're going to take on the agent now? They're going to bash Rich Paul? Do you know who just hired Rich Paul as an agent?
The guy that you covet the most, Anthony Davis.
You've got to kiss Rich Paul's ass. If you want Anthony Davis, you can't be ripping Rich Paul publicly or off the record. And so a whole nother thing is whether they should be going after Anthony Davis, and I'm becoming more ambivalent to that if I'm a Celtics fan. But if you are really going after Anthony Davis, you've got to make nicey nice with the agent.
You would think.
You can't. Oh, that's a great way to convince Anthony Davis and Rich Paul to come to Boston. Let's rip the agent. Let's call the agent cheap and underhanded.
Well, and especially if Anthony Davis coming is what will keep you Kyrie on top of it. So now you're risking two players.
You have to kiss all these asses. And the Kyrie ass kissing, I am just about done with. I'm done with. You're selling your soul. Because the person they really should be pissed at with all those rumors is Kyrie Irving himself, because he had a great opportunity days after they came out, if not 24 hours after they came out, to stand in front of the media in New York and say, nothing's changed. All he had to say, nothing's changed. Instead, he says, ask me July 1st. Instead, he says, I don't owe anyone bleep. Instead, he says, I'm going to do what's best for me and my family. Kyrie could have buried those things in a nanosecond. Instead, he let him ferment for a couple of days, and then when he finally met the media, he said, ask me July 1. The team obviously should be pissed at Kyrie. Kyrie's the one that gave him life. Kyrie is the one that gave them, meaning these rumors, life. But in this story, they've got to go easy on Kyrie because they're kissing his ass. They've prostrated themselves for Kyrie Irving. The Celtics were annoyed by the story of Irving having eyes for New York. Not because of Irving. No. but because of Rich Paul and LeBron's agent, which is great. It's all well and good for Celtics fans to rip Rich Paul and for us to get annoyed with Rich Paul. Now the team's taking on Rich Paul? You need Rich Paul. You've got to kiss his ass just like you're kissing Kyrie. You got to kiss so much Tukas in that league to get these babies, these diva babies, to come play for your team that it's not even funny. But so now they're trying to, you know, they're not mad at Irving. How could you not be mad at Irving? How could you not be? He had the easiest chance in the world. All he had to say,
because they can't be,
was two simple words. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. He didn't. He said just the opposite.
See, and I don't put it past Kyrie when he sits down with the Celtics, because one of the things you heard coming out of there over the last couple of weeks was that, well, Kyrie's really not upset with the Celtics, you know, and the team. He's upset at this idea that, you know, that decisions are being made for him by people like Durant and Anthony Davis, and he's his own man.
So why don't you stay in Boston?
Correct. See, and I think, but I also don't put it past Kyrie to sit down and tell the Celtics that. Say, no, look, we're good, man. What's really bothering me is this, and not telling them what he truly feels, which is, you know what, in all probability, I'm out of here. Like, I don't put it past Kyrie to do that for a second.
I also think it's possible, like we discussed yesterday, that Kyrie said, I might be gone, and the Celtics don't want to believe him. Then the Celtics are so confident, and you can just tell by the reporting that anyone gets anything from the team, you know, Kyrie's staying, because that's how the Celtics feel. They're always overconfident. They always undersell an injury, oversell their ability to get a player. That's just part of the Celtic experience. It's just sort of this confidence and this positivity. And so that's how I think they portray it behind the scenes. But why not be pissed at Kyrie? By Kyrie saying, I'm staying in Boston, that's being his own man. Because everyone in the league wants him to go somewhere else. LeBron wants him to go to L.A., or the Knicks want him to go to New York, or Spike Lee wants him to go to New York. Durant wants him to wait and go to New York. LeBron wants him to go to Los Angeles. Everyone else wants wants Kyrie somewhere else.
Hell, I'd bet the commissioner's office wants him in another market.
So if Kyrie wants to be his own man, all he has to do is say, no, I'm staying in Boston, where no one wants me to be, because I'm my own. And he didn't say that. He said, ask me July 1. I don't owe anyone crap. I'm going to do what's best for me and my family. So the Celtics should, of course, be pissed at Kyrie, but they can't possibly say that because they're kissing his ass right now to try and get him to stay. But they'll take on LeBron's agent, except, hello, that's Anthony Davis's agent. You've got to work with that guy. So I'd ixnay on the, you know, it was cheap and underhanded stuff.
On the covert ops?
Good God.
Because that's what that is. I'll tell you, of all the scenarios out there now, right, you know, Kyrie to the Knicks, Anthony Davis to the Lakers, Kyrie and Anthony Davis to Boston, blah, blah, blah. You know what the biggest upset would be? If Kyrie stayed here and Davis didn't come. In other words, if it just ended up as Kyrie said it was going to be from the beginning. That would be the biggest upset at this stage if Kyrie were willing to commit to the Celtics without Anthony Davis.
Okay, and the All-Star game ass kissing. That's a whole nother thing. I want to get to that next.
Felger and Maz. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I actually look at it as, to be honest with you, if he can, it's a good thing to be able to run up and down the court a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't played in a while. And so even though those All-Star games are just glorified pickup games in a lot of ways, I think just being able to run up and down, move a little bit, get ready. We play next Thursday in Milwaukee. You know, if you're not able to do that for now going on 2 weeks or 12 days, it's not as advantageous. So if he can, even if he can move a little bit, if he is cleared to play, especially if he was fully 110% healthy, then I would encourage him to run.
Brad Stevens with Zolak and Bertrand yesterday. That one drove me nuts. The Celtics are selling their soul for this guy. I'll tell you, it's one thing I will give grudging respect to the Celtics for. You know, I grew up not liking the Celtics and, you know, that thing. But I could have, if I'm being, but I never disrespected him. Like, you know, Bird's still the best player I ever saw. Not that I would rank him number one, but, you know, respect what the Celtics brought to the table. And one of the things they brought to the table over the years, and it's so rare in that league, it might be the only place, and that is it was sort of the organization first and the Celtic way. I know that sounds so lame.
No, they stood for something.
They sort of did.
There was a standard there.
And it was about the organization, and they had great players along the way, but it wasn't like these other places where the players ran the show. And it was, you know, Larry Bird was a Celtic. He didn't make the Celtics. He didn't jerk the Celtics around. He was a Celtic. And all the way, you know, like even through the Garnett time, I feel it was like it was about the Celtics. And that was rare. I don't know if there's another team like that in the league. The Lakers certainly aren't like that. They will whore themselves out for anyone, you know. And the Celtics really sort of avoided that over the years. So this is kind of unseemly for you.
Okay, so go ahead. Because I agree it's different, but I also think the league's different. Even Garnett. Garnett, in a lot of ways, was a rarity. I mean, he's a rare guy, that rare superstar, that kind of presence who really preached team first and wasn't the you know.
So times have changed. It's impossible to be that now.
I think it is.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Again, so look at the star players in the league. Who is, you know, who would you categorize as sort of understated and doesn't need his ass kissed?
Giannis.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Excellent.
We sure about that?
You had a chance for when you took Olynyk.
Olynyk.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, so that's good. I mean, not
you
yet.
You never hear a peep about that kid.
No, I mean, you really don't. I follow him a little bit. He's re-signed already, and he has made no sort of, he's done none of this nonsense about talking to guys. Have you heard one Giannis rumor?
No, kind of understated when it comes to endorsements, too. Like,
so he's also a foreigner. Which, you know, I say, I don't mean that in a derogatory fashion.
No, but he didn't grow up in this culture.
He didn't grow up in this AAU USA basketball culture, which is rotten. Rotten to the core, by the way. Okay, so, and, you know, I'd say the last guy was Duncan. He was Bahamian, right? He didn't grow up in the Bahamas?
I was going to say something like that, Jamaican or whatever.
I thought it was the Bahamas.
You might be right.
And I don't think he grew up in that American AAU USA basketball culture. So maybe that's what it takes. Dirk wasn't that guy either. But
it's a good point.
So phrase it a different way.
I mean, Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, they're all like that.
American superstar basketball player who's grounded and willing to be a part of an organization as opposed to the show and the brand.
I'm not sure there is one. And again, now we're talking superstar here. We're not talking top 25 player in the league. We're talking top 5 or 10
right.
tops.
We're not talking Gordon Hayward.
Right. Gordon Hayward doesn't qualify. So, you know, I don't know.
He's also not.
I mean, I don't know that there is one.
Okay, so now you've got a guy who's just, you just have to kiss his tush at every freaking turn. Now this is borderline outrageous that he's going to bag out of the last two regular season games and go play in the All-Star game. And not only are you okay with it, you're going to sort of publicly clear the decks for him to do it. And sort of like publicly say, yeah, no, it's okay, Kyrie, you can do it, it's okay. So there's Brad Stevens, the coach with such nonsense. He needs to play in the All-Star game to get a run in between now and the next game on Thursday in Milwaukee. Like, they can't provide pickup games for him at the gym or training at the Auerbach Center. Like, he needs to go to Charlotte and play in the All-Star game to get his sweat on. That is so preposterous, Brad. That is someone subjugating him. That is someone putting his what he believes in at the back door.
I think he'd get a better workout from a pickup game.
Well, Ainge was at it too. I'm quoting from Steve Bulpet here in the Herald. I know Ainge was on this morning with us as well, but I just, you know, I like reading the quotes here. He says, I don't know what he's going to do, but I think Kyrie is very, very close to a return. Honestly, I don't really have any preference at all for what he does. I understand how he could actually benefit from having a really good workout, again with the workout thing. You have to go to Charlotte to have the good workout? Would you stop with this?
I mean, this was apparent yesterday when Steven said it, that they were going down this road. He was going to go to the game. He was going to play. And that, you know, whether they liked it or not, they were going to publicly put the happy face on.
Listen to this. Ainge says he has to go to the All-Star game whether he plays or not because he's got responsibilities as a coach in the Rising Stars game. And he's got some other things going on there. So, I mean, he's going to be in Charlotte anyway, and if he can use a Sunday exhibition game as a good workout leading into next week, I think it could be a non-health risk workout that's better than our own practice that we're going to have on Wednesday in Milwaukee. Do you really believe... So you've got to now basically make things up to to kiss the ass of this player. Because I cannot, I do not believe that Danny really believes that. That he thinks his players are better served getting a workout with a bunch of other all-stars for an exhibition than in their own controlled environments that they've created and spent money on and time and effort on to create in their own facilities. I don't tell me you believe that. Because if that's the case, cancel practice and just let these guys fly someplace and jack around with some of their buddies in the league. Because that's all that this NBA thing is.
Yeah, the All-Star game is not a workout.
Dude, Red Auerbach is rolling over in his grave. You'd rather him go jack around with a bunch of buddies in the league in Charlotte than practice with the team? You think that's better? You don't believe that. You don't believe that. It's not true. Ainge says this is all if he's healthy. I totally trust Kyrie that he will not play if he's not healthy. I have all the trust in him and his decisions on that. Like, he would only do it if he's 100% healthy. And he'll have to have a physical therapist and a trainer with him the whole week in Charlotte working out. So he'll be getting treated, and those guys will take really good care of him. So I don't worry about what... So you've got to schlep those guys down to Charlotte? They're here. Why not just stay here with them?
So look, so the question to me then is if you were the Celtics, you... Would and it helps keep him here, would you do it?
The old Celtics would say, you're not playing.
I didn't ask the old Celtics. I asked you. If it would help keep him here, would you do it?
No.
I would.
I'm done.
I would.
I'm done with that. I'm not telling you. I said it before. You're not better without Kyrie, and if he wants to stay, I keep him. No problem. But this thing that they're doing...
What was the word? Prostrate?
Prostrate.
Yeah.
It's unseemly. Look it up. Look what it does to prostrate yourself. It is... It's unseemly. It's beneath them. And believe me, this was someone who grew up hating the Celtics. But at least they stood for something, and it was a little different here than other places. This is beneath them.
And yeah, it's the way the league is run now, though. You have to kowtow to these star players if you want them to stay. They're so terrified of him leaving on July 1st, they're willing to let him do just about anything.
I told you this early in the year. Whatever he wants, yep. Whatever you want, yep. I do it all.
And he's still going to leave you.
And then when he signs, then I start.
And then when he leaves to New York, do you feel like a schmuck?
I want his name on the contract first. Then I'll run my team.
You just sacrifice things you believe in, and he still doesn't want you. He still leaves you at the altar. He still breaks off the engagement, Danny. Good God. Seriously.
That's what you got to do now. I don't like it either, but it's the reality, man. You got to do it.
Oh, and you won again without him last night, and they look great. So, there's that too.
Yeah, but you don't buy into that crap either.
It's a nice little...
You're just fueling the fire
that
now.
That was a little fire fueling before we hit the break. That was perfect. You just ruined it.
Here's God, please stop.
Murray's update, and they won. And again, they won last night without him, huh? Interesting. Here's Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.